Hey, this is Zep, and on behalf of the guys, Stru, Boomer, and Lukey, we want to thank you for downloading and listening to our podcast of The Ticket Outdoors, brought to you by Mills Fleet Farm. And remember, when nothing's going right, just go fishing.
It's the stock-up sale at Mills Fleet Farm. Isobar Windshield Wash is good down to 25 below zero. Go ahead, squeeze the Charmin. Double Roll Bath Tissue is on sale. Stock up on Easter candy with Hershey's Chocolates and Easter M&Ms. Keep the birds chirping with KT Wild Bird Food. It's on sale, too. Keep your cats purring with Purina's Friskies Cat Food. And Grade 2 Bulk Hardware is on sale at Mills Fleet Farm Stock Up Sale.
It's time for Ticket Outdoors on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
And Vaughn Stelmack on lead guitar. I like it. Hold on, fellas. I'm getting everybody all mic'd up here. Go figure. We're looking at our promotional video. I like it.
Where you told me I was number one.
I thought you guys were FaceTiming Stru. We got Boomer, Mark Lukey, our producer. We put a pair of headphones and a microphone in front of him tonight because Stru's seat is open. He's off running with the moose. Started talking about this when we were in the field up at, was it Trappers?
Yeah.
We're up at Trappers, and we had Michelle Karstensen with the Minnesota DNR. We've had her on several times as a guest. She's doing the big moose study for the DNR and some tough news.
Yeah, speaking of that, you see that article?
Yeah, I saw the article. Yeah, thanks for sending it over. Yeah, I thought that there was a bit of a rebound. It sounded like there was some good news last time we talked about what goes up sometimes comes down, and a big drop.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting in that. That article, those of you that know me, that, you know, I think there was no mention of wolves. It was blaming that the climate was a little too warm, and moose don't like warm weather. So
there go the moose and the polar bears.
Just
got it.
No, just blame it on.
Wasn't last winter one of the coldest winters ever?
Yeah. How do you blame it on the warm? Is it? And it wasn't even warm during the summer. What did we hit, 90, like twice?
Yeah. It's pet cats out there eating the moose. That's what it is. Pet cats.
Well, kill them all.
Shoot them. We're not going to deal with any of that political crap tonight because we're going to get it straight from the source. Stru is up there.
Yes.
Running with the moose in northern Minnesota. We don't know if he's actually in the field or what he's doing, but we're going to check in with him later tonight and find out. He's not in studio. We've got Guy Sibley. So it was Ice Age 1 when you guys were up at Devil's Lake, and then the sequel, Ice Age 2, apparently. You want to? Should we even get into that? You want to talk? Well, Guy's going to be our first guest, but you know, people were here with us last week. We talked. You guys went up to Lake Gogebic. Gogebic?
Gogebic.
Gogebic.
I thought it was Gebic.
Gebic.
Okay.
Tomato, tomato. Yep.
Yeah.
Got it. You guys are up in the UP.
Egan.
Yeah, you guys are up in the UP searching for the Nerf ball perch.
Yes, and we did have some success, but we'll talk about that a little bit.
We'll get into that a little bit, but it was tough conditions. You knew that going in.
We did, and you know, I want to give a shout-out as we've grown to 2 hours. I want to give out a shout-out to one of our young female listeners, Rose, who's listening in. She has a big gymnastic meet this weekend.
Ooh.
She's a young Fisher girl. She's in the fifth grade. And Rose, good luck at your gymnastic meet, and thank you for listening to Ticket Outdoors.
I love that name, Rose. That's one of our family names, Virginia and Rose. And you don't hear that one very much anymore. She's a lucky young lady. So good luck in gymnastics.
Name. Yeah, good luck in
That's
gymnastics,
That's one of those that
Rose.
Gets handed down, and I'm glad it does. It's a beautiful name.
Yes.
All right, good luck, Rose. We've got Walleye Dan on.
Yeah,
every time I see Walleye Dan, he's got one of those big Mills Fleet Farm boats or a big Mills Fleet Farm, whatever the...
We love it.
Yeah, I know. He was out in Wisconsin for the spear. They did the sturgeon spear fishing out in Winnebago every year. So he was out there for that. He's got his TV show on Fox Sports North.
Yeah, you know, and one of the cool things Mark and I were talking before the show about Walleye Dan is I love the fact in his show that it's a real adventure. He brings his family. You know, you'll see his wife, you'll see his kids. And much like all the adventures you have in the outdoors, sometimes you win, and sometimes you chalk it up and go back out there again to see if you're going to win the next day.
Right, exactly. Sometimes you win, sometimes you learn.
Yes.
George Krog, Mark Lukey, our producer. Who's George Krog? Yeah.
Well, this is a Stru guest. Apparently,
we have a qualifier now on the show. It's a Stru guest.
Apparently, George is lobbying to make it so anyone over a certain age doesn't have to enter the lottery to get a buck. So,
okay.
I think his reasoning is he's only got so many years left.
Right.
He wants to bag a buck. And, you know, if someone in that situation doesn't get pulled in the lottery, which he says he hunts in a lottery area, obviously that's not good.
Yeah,
you know, let the man shoot a buck. That's what I say.
I can't find something to argue about there.
No.
I mean, how many hunters are we talking about here?
What? Oh, shoot a doe.
Von Hold, are you?
Oh, he can shoot a doe.
Oh, yeah. Most of the time, lotteries are for a doe.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shoot a doe.
Are you still thinking of your marijuana experience deer hunting? Not that you did anything, Mark, but...
No, who was that? That was Papa Boomer, wasn't it? No, that was your dad.
Yeah, that was your dad.
Yep.
That was smoking cigarettes on the
pot field.
We just got notified that there were some plants on the hunting land that they were concerned about. But we had nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
I promise.
We're going to watch.
Sergeant Greenleaf over there.
I want to jump right in and thank our sponsors. Sergeant Greenleaf, Dan Southside Marine, Fleet Farm, Alumacraft, and our new sponsor, Lakes Trading Company. We talked about them a little bit last week.
Yep.
Gun Range, shop up in Forest Lake. Haven't been up north yet, but not that it's that far out of the Twin Cities, but I'll be headed up there before too long. Stop in and surprise them with a surprise ticket outdoors inspection.
Yes.
See how things are going up there. So,
well, you know, you just mentioned Alumacraft, and as you guys know, I'm pretty pumped about getting the new T-Pro this year. I can't believe that we're creeping up on April. And, guys, the first 2 weeks of April is when that water opens up there on the Rainy River. And I plan on doing some sturgeon hunting up there.
Yeah.
Some prehistoric fish in that T-Pro. Now, I was going to, and I already invited Mark and Strew, but I was thinking, Zep, every time I invite these guys...
Yeah.
The weather is just absolutely blizzard conditions.
I've never felt less lousy about not making a fishing trip in my life.
Jeff, would you like to come instead?
I think you better bring me along. It can't get any worse, I'll give you that.
Now we have a choice because Graham wants us to go to South Dakota for goose hunting.
Oh, not the snow goose in the spring.
No.
Yeah.
So do you want to...
Zep's out.
Well, I'll flip a coin. It'll always come up goose.
That's going to be, well, you know what?
That is going to be a fun one.
You know what? Hopefully, though, depending on when that river opens up there at Rainy River and we sneak up to the folks at Wigwam, we could do both. We could do both.
My wife would love
I know
that.
When we go out with the maxed out guys, we won't be staying at my dad's place. That's a
story. You should tell that story.
Why don't you tell our listeners about the Ticket Outdoors adventure to Great Plains hunting.
Yeah, well,
our star, Brian Zep from KQRS. Tell them a little bit about Papa.
First of all, Mom's probably streaming right now at the Ticket Out or the 105theticket.com. So, but, you know, and we joke about it with Dad. I said, so we've got this thing we do, and we bring the Ticket Outdoor guys out. We're going to hunt. We kind of want to feature Great Plains hunting, Westington, South Dakota, on the Ticket Outdoors. You know, you get your kid in there working. Why not? Let me help you help me help you.
Yes.
And Dad, well, I don't want to do that. I don't know. It sounds like they want a free hunt to me. So we never did get a chance to go out and do that. But when I was out for my last free hunt, Graham Gresseth, one of our buddies from Maxed Out Guides, one of our very first sponsors on the show, also one of the very first people to back out, I think. No, I'm kidding. We love Graham. He's a good guy. He's been a guest on the show for many years and a great guy. And he certainly knows his waterfowl. And I've been out hunting with the Maxed Out Guys many times. So I turn them on to Dad's place. They're looking for the migration out there. We're kind of in the corridor of the snow goose migration this spring, and Graham's putting together more and more hunts. Guys are getting excited about it. It's a big goose migration.
Yep.
You can blast a bunch of them over there in South Dakota. So he's putting some hunts together and looking for places to put his hunters. Oh, Great Plains, we got a lodge right out there. Sitting empty in the spring. Nobody's in it. Just cowboy, Mom and Dad. I don't know what they're doing out there. Sleeping all day. And then, so Graham calls him, and I happen to be there for the wrap-up hunt right before New Year's Eve. And Mom's like, it's one of your friends, Graham. I'm like, oh, yeah, with the Max Dad here, Dad going there, and he comes out. And he said, yeah, I wanted to put some hunters up here for a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but then he gets to stay for free. I told him, no way. I'm like, Dad, are you out of your mind? You're not making any money here. And any one of these guys might go, wow, what a nice lodge. What a nice place. You got a pheasant hunting operation, you say, this fall. Yeah, okay, that sounds like a great place. Want to come back. Dottie and Skip, just wonderful human beings, and I can't wait to chase the birds up and down your little killing strips here this fall, but no. That won't be happening. That's how we keep it a small operation.
That's kind of like me trying to invite people to grouse hunt. I'm going to call my dad out live on air while he gets up and kicks my ass. But, you know, I'm like, hey, Dad, what about inviting the guys up for deer camp or grouse hunting? And then he, no! Are you kidding me? Well, they got to get up there and work 6 weeks. I'm like, Dad, for the work you expect for them, it's cheaper for them to go on an exotic safari for $15,000 right. than a hunt on our deer land. But look at him, Zep. Uh-huh. Guilty as charged.
Oh, it's going to be a quiet ride home. Or maybe a loud one. I do want to be fair. Just so that I can keep hunting there if Mom and Dad are listening. I love you.
I love you, Zep's mom and dad. Boomer, I can still go, please.
I do want to be fair. They've really done such a great job. When you go and start hunting there, you come back every year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the newest people that we have come hunting there, other than, you know, some people that might just drive up, and they did get a couple that heard it on Ticket Outdoors last fall when we had Dad on, are like 9 years. Going back to 17 years, the same group's been coming out every weekend. So they don't have a lot of openings. So I think they worry about, we can take on a little more, but we don't want to take on much more.
Right.
They're pretty locked in. If a weekend opens up at Great Plains Hunting, I highly recommend it. Anyway, guys.
I'm going to mark this on the bucket list, Mark. We will get a hunting trip at Great Plains Hunting. We will visit that one where we might be sitting outside and Zep's dad will be chasing me with a shotgun saying to stop trespassing.
Well, I know we're not
but
getting
I will hunt that property one day of my life.
I think we break the ice? We go out on the snow goose hunt with Graham and the guys from Maxed Out Guides and we just knock on the door. Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't you get my email, Mom? Did I Facebook you? Didn't you get that?
Hey, Zep, what if we...
turn anyone away.
Could we have fun with your dad? Like, what if I, like, knocked on his door and said, hey, I won this contest on KQRS in the drive home with Brian Zep. He said, I got a free week to stay. What would your dad say to me?
Laugh and laugh and then slam the door in your face. No. Well, you know what? We'll figure something out.
Could
I would love to get you guys out there
and do that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to lose my hunting rights for crying out loud.
Don't worry. You can hunt on our land. You just got to work for 6 weeks on food plots for a day of hunting.
All right. Enough hunting. Let's talk fishing. Fish with Guy Sibley. You guys were up there. Let's talk about that when we come back. We're going to ring up Guy. Let's talk about that trip and the conditions and everything else that came with it.
I got some stories of stories, my friends.
Guy Sibley coming up on Ticket Outdoors.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Coming back into the corner, and Kevin Harvick hasn't given up yet, but the leader is Jeff Gordon.
We're kicking off our NASCAR season this week with two race days. Thursday at 5 p.m., the Budweiser Duel 125s. And Sunday at 11 a.m., the Daytona 500.
Hi, this is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
You know, there's still plenty of winter left. But how much tread is left on your old tires? Well, Mills Fleet Farm has just what you need to stay safe while weathering the rest of winter. Buy four select tires, our expert technicians will install them, and we'll give you a $50 Fleet Farm gift card. Roadrunner, Cooper, VF Goodrich, Mastercraft, and Michelin. All the best brands at the best prices at Mills Fleet Farm.
This is a message to all parents. Your kids are leaving. Maybe not today, maybe not next year, but it will happen. They will grow up, get lives, and go. So what can you do right now to enjoy this painfully one-sided relationship? Trap them. That's right, on a boat from Dan's Southside Marine. See, your little self-focused darlings will take one look at that Alumacraft boat, Premier Pontoon, or Stingray Powerboat from Dan's and see cool, fun, and complete and utter awesomeness. You will see quality, experience, and incredible customer service. But best of all, you'll see your kids and make lasting memories before they ditch you and then chuck their education to follow their muse, which will not afford them a boat from Dan's. But you can console them on yours. This just keeps working.
Dan's Southside Marina's combined manufacturers rebates with clearance pricing on all remaining 2014 Alumacraft Premier and Stingray boats to save you the most money possible. Go to DansSouthsideMarine.com.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
We rerun this sucker Sunday mornings at 6 o'clock, or you can find the podcast in the next day or two on 105theticket.com. All right, you guys, we're off to Go Gebbick.
Go Gebbick, right, Mr. Sibley?
Yes, sir.
Gibbick.
FishWithGuy.com. He was our guest last week and your host and guide for these past several days that you guys were up there in some pretty tough conditions. Guy, don't take it personally. Everywhere these guys go, apparently they bring a Arctic cold front with them.
Arctic hurricane, not cold front. Hurricane.
Oh, yeah, the winds. It's always about the wind, I've always said. No, it doesn't matter if you're hunting a deer in the early rut, if you're bow hunting, it doesn't matter if it's predator hunting. It doesn't matter what it is, fishing. It's always about the wind. It could be 20 below, and if there's no wind, it's not so bad out.
Yes.
It could be 15 degrees, and you get a 20, 30-mile-an-hour wind, and it's miserable.
Well, it was beyond miserable Saturday. We couldn't even get on the lake that we were targeting, so we ended up doing a little something different.
Well, and I tell you what, for our listeners who just joined in, we got Guy Sibley, the basically I'm going to call him the spokesperson for the UP of Michigan for fishing up there. And Guy is a fishing personality guide that really came mainstream the last year because of social media, because he was posting these pictures of these legit 2-pound perch, like showing them on the scale. Now the next thing, you know, guys on Next Bite TV with Gary and Chase Parsons and Keith Kavayets on NBC Sports. He's a part of the ICE team, and he was nice enough to invite us out there. But what I love about Guy is he's real, authentic, and genuine. I mean, he's been doing this his entire life. His dad gave us some pictures to blackmail with him later on social media.
Sweet mullet.
Sweet mullets nice. And pencil stashes.
I wouldn't trust a guy that didn't rock a mullet at some point in his life. No.
But we get up there Friday, and first off, Zep, Guy swears he told us this when we went to our dinner Friday night, but I didn't realize we were staying about an hour away from the Eastern time zone. So you know what that means when you set an alarm to your cell phone?
Well, if you're an hour away, I don't know, your cell phone.
About a mile away. So what happens is my phone flipped over to Eastern.
Oh, well,
so
your phone was a mile off.
Stru and I were up about at 4 a.m. versus 5 a.m. and three cups of coffee into it. It's 5:30, I'm thinking, Central Time. And Guy said, I'll be there about 6, right? And I'm thinking, I don't want to screw this up. And it was actually 4:30.
I bet Stru loved that.
Oh, it was great. And then Guy came, and Mark and Eric got awake and picked us up, and he was with his dad, Raymond, which we're going to get Ray on the phone sometime because he is one hell of a character. I swear to God, it's like the Amish Mafia up there. Ray runs all of Gogebic, Michigan.
We just need the edit button handy when he's on. I'll tell you that.
Is it like the Amish Mafia up there with your dad, Guy?
It's a treat sometimes, that's for sure. It can be interesting.
Yeah, he's there's no filter. You got to love it, like Papa Von. And we get out there, and Ray comes in, and I haven't met him before, and he walks in, and in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, for our listeners, we have a Minnesota accent here, okay? Yeah. But I'd say we're on, like, level 5 of 10. You get into the Upper of Michigan, and I love it. It's at max, right? Oh, yeah. Ray comes in with this thick northern accent and says some really choice words about Mother Nature. And I stick up my hand and go, Boomer, nice to meet you, bleep and bleep and bleep. And we hugged each other and best friends ever since.
Yeah.
And Guy is authentic and genuine. He's like, yeah, I haven't missed it in 10, 15 days. Guide note here. We're gonna power through it. So we drive down to one of the landings on Lake Gogebic to chase these jumbo perch with fishwithguy.com. And guess what? We can't even see Zep about 5 feet away.
Light out, yeah.
And I see this burly guy get out of the car, and that's it, boys. We're not going anywhere. And all of a sudden, there's like this WTF look. And Mark gets in the truck. He goes, awesome, Boomer. 6-hour drive to go watch American Sniper in the local movie theater. Guy, when's the last time you've seen a storm like that?
It happens once a year, but you know, you pray that you don't have guys that day. Something like that happens. Yeah, there was no navigating the lake safely that day. It was just it's a guide's nightmare where he has to make that choice between, you know, safety of other people, and I did it. I just called it. It doesn't happen very often.
When do you, Guy? When do you decide? Not that we want to dwell on it, but I'm just curious. What, you know, obviously you know how bad it has to get, but for our listeners, what were we talking about? Are we talking about 20 mile an hour winds, 30 mile an hour winds? some snow, obviously frigid temperatures. You get out there and you know when you get out.
Well, it was blowing between 30 and 50. It was quite old conditions. You couldn't stand. We got out to do a little interview. Our faces were burning after 2 minutes standing outside. It was not good.
So then we decided to go into the local town. Now, Guy, I do have some advice for you. We were talking about this in the truck when we were following you. When you have your clients behind you that aren't used to driving in 280 inches of snow that you get up there, you can't go 70 miles an hour on a Class 5 road and expect us to keep up with your brother. But we finally passed the local cafe 30 miles away from where we were staying and went another 15 miles, turned around and met Guy and Uncle Ray for breakfast, and we chatted, and then Guy was nice enough to say that the lake he grew up on was having an ice fishing tournament, Zep, for the volunteer fire department. Well, you know, there's 350 locals up there. Strew is like in heaven because we tell the whole local base that's there that Strew is like this huge radio star on multiple stations, and Strew just puffed out like a spring turkey. Yeah. I mean, he's like, poof!
Yeah,
and
it was up.
It was pretty fun, and the wind died down a little bit, and we fished actually Sunday Lake. And Guy, why don't you tell our listeners what you led our pop up tent to?
Well, they actually a couple of the guys placed. Eric placed, and Mark took last, I do believe, in the panfish division.
I must say that's the first fishing tournament I was in, and I placed in the money. It happened to be for smallest fish, but
yeah.
I walked away. You know, I took the fire department for $50.
That's the booby prize.
He did. And Eric won like $150, right?
Yeah, he won $125 for first fish and largest panfish. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. I had a great time. And, boy, there's some great people there.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone was friendly. That's what I love about small towns like that is, you know, everyone walked right up to you and asked you what was going on. And it was fun. It was a great time.
I've spent many weekends up there getting lost on a snowmobile. And so you run into the locals when you get lost, sometimes literally. And, they've always just been very cool and patient with us and friendly and helped us pull a couple of sleds out one time. No questions asked.
Yeah. And, you know, for our listeners that just dialed in, we're talking to the fishing spokesperson, I would say, for the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, Guy Sibley with fishwithguy.com. And Mark Strew, Boomer here, and myself. And myself and Zep, we wish Zep would have joined us. We're making a trip up there and encountered the polar vortex of blizzards and 40 mile an hour winds. And we did take place in the local fire fishing, and then we drove into Hurley, Wisconsin.
I know it well.
Yeah. They had a nice bite to eat. Didn't realize that Hurley is like the number 4 kinkiest city in the United States, by the way.
This is one of those situations where I really wish Zep was there, because I was looking up things to do in Hurley, and it's like ranked 5th naughtiest city in the country. And I'm like, oh my God, our night is set.
One of the best steaks you will ever get at a gentleman's club.
And I am happy to tell our listeners we did not participate in any of that. We went to a very good steakhouse, right, Guy?
Yep, the Branding Iron.
Yep, we had a nice bite to eat, and then we went home early because we planned on doing 2 days of fishing on Lake Ogebek for these monster 2-pound perch. And Guy picked us up the next morning, and the wind had laid down, and it was from the east. Just perfect out. And Guy got us, and he said, okay, boys, we need to go buy some mayfly larvae.
All right.
I've never
wigglers.
Fished with wigglers. You ever seen those, Seth?
No,
wigglers?
I haven't.
Yeah. Guy, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about what a wiggler is?
What's mayfly?
Well, and a wiggler right. Related to fishing.
Not for her pleasure.
They actually dig them on the bottom of rivers and lakes. It's the larva before it turns into a mayfly. And we use them actually for perch fishing. They kind of look like a freshwater shrimp. They move pretty good. They're about 1.5 inches long. That's the state before they get their wings and fly away.
Oh, that's big, 1.5 inches. I was picturing some little, you know, I don't know, pea-sized grub or something.
Yeah, I saw Boomer had some hesitation before he put his hand in there for the first time.
Hell yeah!
You don't know if they're going to bite you.
They look like little lobsters, these ugly creatures. And Guy's just like, oh, it's mayfly larva. And for our listeners, if you want to see what mayfly larva looks like, go to facebook.com/theticketoutdoors. We got a short 10-second video that kind of went viral for us. It had, 11,000 views? Mm-hmm. And so you can get an idea of what these wigglers look like. And that was fun. And then, you know, a guy took us to a private landing. Now, I guess before we stop, let me tell you about wigglers. These mayfly larvae work because a lot of the plastics you see buy out there, mayfly wigglers or larvae are in every lake. Okay, they would work great here in Minnesota. So on the way to the landing to go out there, Zep, Mark and I are scheming like, dude, this is a perfect business opportunity. We are just going to buy these mayfly larvae and ship them all over the United States. Sorry, guy. I know you were worried about this getting out. And then we realized that if we send them to, like, Texas, we're like, hold on, these larvae, they turn into mayflies when it gets warm.
Uh-huh.
And we'd be like, could you imagine it? Like a whole warehouse full of, like, mayflies.
Starting a mayfly infestation down in Texas, you'd be...
So we stopped that, but we did get to the private landing. We got to go Gebbek, and Guy, tell our listeners a little bit what we did from there.
Oh, we got set up. I knew it was going to be tough that day. We ended up marking a few fish. We got a few decent ones, obviously. Boomer had some pretty cool pictures. The bite out there, I guess, now that you've seen it firsthand, maybe you can explain a little bit about the bite and the cadences of jigging on Gebbek. It's not exactly an easy deal.
Yeah, I would say for our listeners, the cool thing about it is when you go with Fish with Guy or fishwithguy.com, or he's got a Facebook page, Fish with Guy, for fishing the Upper Peninsula and these large perch. You take a snow machine and you run out on the lake. You're not going to drive out on the lake, and the resorts aren't going to plow roads because there could be anywhere up to 80 inches of snow on the ice.
Whoa.
So you're only getting out there by snow machine or some type of ATV with a track system. They get you out there. We pop up the X2s or the Jason Mitchells. We get the heaters going, and Guy says, do you want to fish for numbers or do you want to fish for trophies? And we all wanted to fish for these two-pound perch. And honestly, Zep, it's just like deer hunting. When you're staring at the Vexlar, you are not seeing numbers of fish. And again, we're fishing in a cold front, so add that on top of this challenge. Mm-hmm. But when they come through on this basin, because there's so much forage and so much mayfly larva, they bite really light. And so when you see one on your Vexlar, it's going to be a big fish. But you don't see anything for an hour or two. So it's like deer hunting. And then all of a sudden you see this red mark on your Vexlar. And in the state of Michigan there, you could have three rods set up. You have two of them set up as dead sticks, which are just like a little jig and a hook, like a little ant drop and or an epoxy drop. And you put one of the mayflies, you hook through the chest, and then one you hook through the tail. And then you have a spring bobber on the end of your rod, and it just barely moves. And of course in Minnesota we have it, we call power jigging, right? We're yanking it back up and down. But the trick that Guy had taught us was a lot different than power jigging. And Guy, I'm not going to share this secret on air because you do know where I live and I want to go fishing with you again, but it's a completely different type of cadence. Now our listeners like, okay, what the hell does cadence mean? Cadence means in the fisherman's world, how much are you basically jerking that bait up and down?
We call it kind of your rhythm.
What's your rhythm, right?
Same thing.
The rhythm is a lot different and a lot more subtle is what I tell. What would you say to that, Mark?
Yeah, it's the lightest bite I've ever seen, and especially for such big fish. I couldn't believe it. And I really wouldn't believe it if I didn't see it. I mean, super sensitive rod, just... It dipped down about an inch or two.
Yeah.
And you're thinking a two-pound fish is going to nail it, but I just couldn't believe it. And if you didn't know what you're doing, if you don't have a guide, I wouldn't have had a chance.
No.
Not a chance at all.
No. And again, for our listeners, we're talking to Fish with Guy, who took us on an adventure to the UP of Michigan on the infamous and famous Lake Gebbek. Guy, I mean, I know you're a guide and you're going to be biased with this statement, but is it a fair, I would say this is more of a fair statement for getting a guide for a lake than any other. The approach to fishing these monster perch is unlike any other fishing I've done from the Dakotas to down in Missouri. And I mean, I've fished in a few states now. I've never approached a fish that's so big for its species type, these jumbo perch, Zep, where they barely bit. The first one I got was on a dead stick. And I was doing my jigging, and I had one pop up on the Vexlar, and it went past my first one that was about a foot off the bottom, my jig.
Yeah.
And then the next one came up about 2 feet up after the dead stick, and I looked, and I saw that spring bobber just move, and then all of a sudden I got Guy just freaking out on me, like, step the hook! And Guy's like a big dude. I'm like, God, he's going to kick my ass. So I grabbed the rod and just rip it up, and sure enough, it was on there. And I think the, what was it, 1.4, 1.5 pounds was the biggest one?
Yeah, it was somewhere in there.
So that was kind of nice. You know, we didn't quite do the measuring on it, maybe around 14 or whatnot. But when you get that perch through the hole, they just look kind of abnormal, Zep. I mean, it's a
long... size or...
The size and the girth. I mean, Guy, tell our listener base and Zep a little bit about some of those perch, like the dimensions of them you pull out of Lake Gobebic with fishwithguy.com.
Well, I've got a lot. You know, quite a few fish in the past. They're 14 and a half with 14 to 14 and a half inch girths. I mean, those are my favorite, the shorter, just in the same girth. I just like the way they look. But I get a lot of fish that are 15 inches with 14 and a half inch girths. I mean, they're pretty incredible fish. So.
Wow. So, you know, all in all, we had a good day. And then what did we do after Sunday night? We went out to dinner again, didn't we?
Yeah, we went back to Hurley, had a great pizza and good times and... Yeah, it was a lot of
then
fun.
Then called it quits and got up early Sunday morning, had a couple cups of Joe from the Keurig, and headed back home to talk about it tonight.
Right, and if anybody's, you know, driven up to, it's not even as far as Grand Marais. It's more like maybe a drive to Lutzen or something like that. But it's because we would think, oh, we're going to go northern Minnesota, or we're going to go to UP, or we're going to drag the sleds. What do we want to do? And it's a very comparable drive. If you like to go up to northern Minnesota to fish or sled or whatever, you're going to find it about the same distance to get right into the UP over there. It's a, you know, we'd fly up 35, 2, hammer down on 2. There's a diagonal route there to take through the state, but... we haven't done that before. So it's a pretty easy scoot. Guy, what's the rest of the season look like? I mean, when does typically, and nothing seems to be typical with winters anymore, they're in the UP, when do things typically start breaking down on the ice?
Well, I'd say the middle of April, but we've been going right until May. I mean, it's just been crazy the last 3 years, so I mean, it's hard to tell. Usually what happens, though, those fish leave the basin late March, probably middle of April last year, was that, you know, we started having trouble finding them. They move shallow to spawn, obviously. So
guys guys and gals can plan on March. You can still go after the perch and go Gobebic in March.
Well into March.
All right.
And Guy, I got a little secret that just came out. Here's my gear and now captain. He's about to get his captain license. Bill Lebanski sent me a message saying... that mayfly larvae are used all up and down Scani, and so I guess your little secret is out, Guy.
No, I knew that. I mean, that's where
I'm sure he's got a few more.
Wisconsin, so.
Well, if you want to know his secrets, get up there, fishwithguy.com. Guy, thanks for taking some more time out with us here on Ticket Outdoors, and good luck with the rest of the season up there.
All right, thank you.
All right, see you, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, there he goes, Guy. Yeah.
You know, on a closing note, this is the kind of... individual that Guy is. I mean, he lives and breathes up there in the UP. So we meet his dad for coffee at McDonald's on the way back at 9 a.m. because that's where all the local folks that get together and they catch up on the weekend.
Absolutely.
And we see Guy and he's like, hey, what are you guys doing? Are you getting out of here? And we're like, yeah. And he goes, hey, I got a weasel. We said, what? Yeah, I trapped a weasel. It was trying to kill my chickens. We're like, whatever. He goes, yeah, you want to come see my weasel?
Yeah.
Sure. Well,
Hey, you hear that around here.
Yeah.
We had weasel all over the town on the farm.
Moving the weasels.
Yeah, see a weasel and you don't shoot that thing, Dad's going to growl you.
Yeah, he was moving weasels around.
Hit your pheasant chicks, too.
Yeah.
And the eggs gets into them.
So they're fierce little suckers.
They are fierce little suckers.
Weasels.
Yeah, you never feel bad. I've never felt bad in my life. I've never felt bad probably shooting anything, but, a cat by accident that I thought was a fox at 200 yards. I was sitting on a round bale when I was a kid, but it was red. This cat was the size of a...
You blasted a cat?
About the size of a fox at 200 yards. Yeah, with the 223. I was a teenager and I did the right thing. It was the neighbor's cat. I buried it in the field. Well, I didn't. I remember Marilyn being over like a month. Mom's freaking out right now. She's listening to Marilyn come
Does
over.
Does the neighbor know?
About a month later. We just haven't seen Puffy or whatever. And I know. I don't know. I've been running around. You know how these... Maybe a fox got it.
You know, and for our listeners, if you think that's entertaining from Brian Zep, go to facebook.com/ The Ticket Outdoors. If you don't follow us on Facebook, we're all about having fun, talking hunting and fishing. We do a promo video about 30 seconds about the upcoming show. This one Yeah, towards the end, you know, you can fast forward by me and
it
producer
was not,
Mark.
It was not scripted. I wasn't sure what you guys were doing.
Us that we're number one live on camera. It's great.
We're going to come back. Speaking of, I'm not the wild card, but we've got the wild card. Strew's running with the moose when we come back on Ticket Outdoors.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
If you put on 23, you put Jordan on your back. And that's what Zach LaVine did. He really lived up to the moment.
In one of the biggest stages in basketball.
Passionate sports talk on your sports station. 105 The Ticket.
Boomer here from The Ticket Outdoors and my friends at Alumacraft Boats, the official boat sponsor of The Ticket Outdoors. Even though the temps are cold and you guys know I love to talk about ice fishing, right now is an awesome time to buy a new boat because Alumacraft is featuring their annual Alumacash promotion. Get instant rebates of up to $1,600 to use as a down payment or subtract from the sale price. See your local dealer and find out why Minnesota's Alumacraft is the best deal on the water.
This is a message to all parents. Your kids are leaving. Maybe not today, maybe not next year, but it will happen. They'll grow up, get lives, and go. So what can you do right now to enjoy this painfully one-sided relationship? Trap them. That's right, on a boat from Dan's Southside Marine. See, your little self-focused darlings will take one look at that Alumacraft boat, Premier Pontoon, or Stingray Powerboat from Dan's and see cool, fun, and complete and utter awesomeness. You will see quality, experience, and incredible customer service. But best of all, you'll see your kids and make lasting memories before they ditch you and then chuck their education to follow their muse, which will not afford them a boat from Dan's. But you can console them on yours. This just keeps working.
Dan's Southside Marina's combined manufacturers rebates with clearance pricing on all remaining 2014 Alumacraft Premier and Stingray boats to save you the most money possible. Go to DansSouthsideMarine.com.
For family fun, work, or play, Field & Forest jeans from Mills Fleet Farm are comfortable and durable, carpenter or bootcut styles, just $12.99. Give your furry friends healthy nutrition with Hill's brand pet foods. Get a $10 gift card when you buy select sizes of dog, puppy, cat, or kitten food. Keep your water softener clean and trouble-free with Diamond Crystal Zeo Tabs, 40 pounds, just $4.19. Find more great deals online at fleetfarm.com. We love it.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
105theticket.com. Listen along when you're out and about, hitting the road, and you'll also find our podcast on there. Thank you to Dan Southside Marine, Fleet Farm, Alumacraft, and Lakes Trading Company, Gun Range and Shop up in Forest Lake. We got Boomer in studio, Mark Lukey, our producer. Papa Boomer, Vaughn sitting over there in the corner. He's kind of miffed at Boomer. No, everybody's laughing and having a good time tonight. And our wild card, running with the moose up in northern Minnesota, having a very relaxing evening. Wild card, what's going on, Steve Straczynski?
Well, I am having a relaxing evening with my gorgeous wife here, the Best Western, and the DNR guys who are doing the moose research haven't even come back yet from their trek from today.
Boy, so I bet that's a frosty trek today
what,
up there.
I'm telling you what. If Michelle Carson's to call me in about an hour and says, you know what, we're calling it off tomorrow, I'd say, well, that's okay. I'll go fishing on Gogebic or something like that. But
that'd be like a little vacation from the weather you're having up there, wouldn't it?
I must be a jinx. I'm 0-3, Devils. Like, we froze our butts off. Gogebic, we froze our butts off, and here I am again. And it's going to be about 12 below tomorrow morning with 35 below, probably wind chill. And whether I'm in an airplane or on a snowmobile, it's going to be an interesting experience, but it'll be fun. Hey, you guys, we're listening to the first part of the show. My wife knows how to use the app on the phone or something, which I was pretty impressed. And so I'm going to say, you got to promise me one thing: never, ever, ever bitch about me talking too much again, because Boomer never shuts up.
I told him to bring his A game tonight. So that's true. We're down.
We'll take
man.
That. A-hole.
Yeah.
We're down a man. So, what has been your experience? Now, why don't you explain to our listeners, because we really just kind of teased it last Wednesday on the show, what you're doing up there.
What's interesting is...
And where are you?
I'm in Grand Marais. I've been born and raised in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Hunted and fished most of my life. I've never been to Grand Marais.
Welcome to Grand Marais, a favorite spot of my daughters and I for years. They've Gunflint Trail Cafe. You and Diana will love it.
We just stopped at the Gunflint Tavern.
That's it. That's the place.
And they had I had some kind of a fish soup thing, which was...
That's my favorite.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
And I would do it again in a flash.
That's it, the tavern.
Yep, it's a great, great place. But anyway, here's what's happening. Michelle Carstensen, you mentioned, is one of our previous guests, and she's been on a couple of times. A wonderful lady, and we've been able to lean on her a number of times to ask questions about what she's doing. And she's in charge of the Minnesota DNR research group of the moose, of what's happening with the moose. The moose population has declined drastically since 2006. In 2006, we had about 8,000 moose in Minnesota. Now we're down to, this year, 4,350. That's what they anticipate. So they're down 50%. We've heard all about this kind of thing. And why? So what they're doing right now, the state has given them an opportunity to continue doing some research. And they started in Ely the last couple of days, and they collared nine or ten moose, putting transmitters in them, all that. And they're going to check on those babies. And they're coming over this way today, and they're anticipating collaring probably 10 more in the next 2 days. They have opened from the DNR to collar 36 moose. They got the funds for that, and that's right now. Then in the spring, they're going to collar 50 calves. So these are 36 adult moose, 50 calves in the spring, and start doing the research and seeing why these damn things are dying. And it's not all the wolves, but
yeah.
So that's what I'm going to be doing. There's a good chance I get to be in an airplane and do some of the spotting, and I might have an opportunity to hop on the sled and track these babies down, tranquilize them, and watch them collar. And then we get to go back in. They have a big van, like, with a bunch of equipment, like the movie Sneakers with Robert Redford years ago, where they have all these equipment to do all this testing, and might have an opportunity to see what's happening there as well. So I'm going to learn a lot if I don't freeze my butt off.
I swear you've watched every movie that's not available on DVD.
Have you ever seen the movie Sneakers?
No, but I have heard of it. I vaguely remember it, but I don't think I saw it. A story came out today. Boomer, did you send me the story?
I've got it up here. About the moose.
Northeastern Minnesota's troubled moose herd continues to dwindle. This story just popped today down here. It's true.
Yeah.
According to the Animal Aerial Survey headed by the Minnesota Department, that's what you're up there with. While the numbers vary from year to year based on survey conditions, such as the amount of snow on the ground, shows that moose numbers continue to drop. But now, we thought we heard some good news last time we had Michelle on. She thought that the population had stabilized, but now it's on another downswing. It says here researchers are finding the wolves are taking an increasingly large share of moose, especially calves, but the big animals also face other problems, parasitic brain worms, and winter ticks.
Yeah.
And some declining habitat and all that jazz.
I don't know all the answers. I don't know what the brain worm stuff, that kind of confuses me. The ticks was not much of an issue this last year because we had such a long, cold, extended winter. The ticks were not as abundant as they had been in the years past. So that's not an issue. It's the wolves, standard infections that human beings and live creatures get, and the brain worm. And that's what they're trying to figure out is what's the brainworm thing as much as anything else. And I think that's what they're going to try to corral. You can control the wolves. Yes, I know that, Boomer. We can control the wolves.
Shoot them!
But the brainworm is a big, big concern of these guys.
But you know what I don't understand, Stru, is we had an issue like this with white-tailed deer for a long time, and it's called chronic waste disease,
yes.
CWD. And so if we understand that there are issues like brain worms, and I'm not saying it's a simple fix, but here's the good news for our listeners, as passionate as I am about controlling our apex predator wolf population,
yep.
That there are proven methodologies out there that it's not the end of the day with this brain worm. We've had issues in Minnesota and Wisconsin with CWD. I don't know, Zep, if it hit the Dakotas or
I don't
all.
Remember any significance. It seemed to be more of a Midwest East, like Illinois, Indiana, even Iowa on the east side of the state was experienced some of that. I don't think over the Dakotas. I don't remember it being much of an issue.
So there is a way to approach this, and it is a good thing that the DNR aren't just reacting and picking one of the reasons this is happening to our moose population. But there is more to it than just the brain worms and
I don't disagree with you. I'm not a tree hugger by any means. I'm not big on this global warming thing, but they're saying here now that within the last 40 years, temperatures have risen 4 degrees, which is that a lot? Hell, I don't know. Is the world going to stop spinning? I don't know. But what they're saying is because the temperatures have warmed even a little bit, it has, and we haven't had as much snow the last 4 or 5 years for the most part, it's given the deer an opportunity to coincide more with the moose than they ever have. Moose can go through 3, 4, 5 feet of snow. We all know that. And the deer can't. But now that, like last year, we don't have much snow right now. So
no,
now
we don't.
Deer,
but last year was an up year for snow in northern Minnesota. So that's why we had deer starving last year because they couldn't, because of the cold winter and the above average snowfall. But guys, let's take a quick break here and come back and talk about it some more. Strew's up there in Grand Marais, Minnesota. Up there about 20 miles from the Canadian border. Let me spit it out. We'll talk to him more when we come back. Take it outdoors.
Your home for hockey talk in the Twin Cities. On the Ice, hosted by Pete Wagner of MinnesotaHockeyMag.com and Chad Graff of the St. Paul Pioneer Press.
Because of the hole that the Wild put themselves in January, they just can't afford to be losing any games right now, and that's so mentally taxing.
If you continue to win, each game gets amplified, each mistake. This is playoff hockey for, about 6-7 markets in the West. That's what the NHL wants.
On the Ice, hockey talk every Saturday morning at 9, only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
You know, there's still plenty of winter left, but how much tread is left on your old tires? Well, Mills Fleet Farm has just what you need to stay safe while weathering the rest of winter. Buy 4 select tires, our expert technicians will install them, and we'll give you a $50 Fleet Farm gift card. Roadrunner, Cooper, VF Goodrich, Mastercraft, and Michelin. All the best brands at the best prices at Mills Fleet Farm.
Men have asked themselves since the dawn of time, when it's time, will I be ready? Is it the size or how I use it? No need to worry. Lakes Trading Company has you covered. They buy, sell, and trade firearms of all sizes. No matter snow, wind, rain, or shine, Lakes Trading Company will give you a place to master your skills. At their indoor shooting range, Lakes Trading Company, just off Highway 61 in Forest Lake, is your gun specialist with an unbelievable product line, knowledgeable staff, and permit to carry classes. Visit online at lakestradingco.com and be locked, loaded, and ready.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Now, this is Zep. We've got Mark Luke here, producer, Boomer in studio and hanging up in Grand Marais with his beautiful bride, Diana. The wild card, Steve Struzinski. We're talking about the moose population. We're kind of, I think that's, we'll be very interested to hear what you have to say if you have a chance to get out in the field as you talk to the DNR crew that you're hanging up there. You're talking, they're going out tonight, and they're collaring about, I think you said, about another 50 calves or something like that.
Yeah, well, they'll collar 50 calves in the spring, and they're collaring another 11 moose, adult moose, within the next 2 days up here is my understanding. So obviously somebody's up in the air the last 2 days finding the moose. They GPS them. The people must hop on the sleds, go tranquilize and collar them and do the research and start taking the test. So that's what's going to be happening in the next couple of days, and I will be part of that. Hey, talking about the brainworm thing, you know, you remember a couple of months back where they had this moose adult bull that was in Eau Claire someplace and standing in farm fields and just doing nothing. It was the furthest south moose they've had in many, many years,
right,
or whatever. Well, they did an autopsy on that bull, and they did find a number of fully grown adult brain worms in the brain and the part of the neck of this bull.
So he just went insane and wandered off.
Yeah, and he just got goofed up. But they're saying that as a result of the deer and the moose are interacting with each other more, that the deer do their thing, and then somehow the moose get involved, and the brain worms in the deer feces. Either the moose step on it, eat it, and gets involved in snails, and the moose nibble on the snails. That's what's happening. So, and the deer are not affected by the brain worm because they evolved with it somehow. So they've been with it for so long, they're kind of immune to it, is what I'm understanding. And so if you keep the deer away from the moose, they're thinking that's not going to be an issue, but of course that's not going to happen.
Deer and moose have coexisted
Where do you just step back and say, let nature take its course? If it means that the moose comes close to extinction. Right. The numbers dwindle. Maybe it moves out of Minnesota. I mean, how much can we do here for the moose?
I thought you were talking about the wolves. Let nature take care of itself. But obviously, that's not going to happen, right, Boom?
Well, if it did, we are an apex hunter as a human, so we'd be allowed to hunt them if nature
took
its course.
Anyway, what's fun about it is, so it's really going to be interesting, and this is funded by the DNR and I think by the Chippewa Band up here someplace as well in the northeastern part of Minnesota. They are all funding this whole project to figure out what's going on, what we can do to curtail it and restore the moose population, which is important to everybody in the state of Minnesota. So I'm looking forward to seeing what I learn tomorrow. Hopefully Diana can come along with me as well and be part of it somehow. But I'm very, very, very privileged to be here. And other than freeze my ass off, I'm looking forward to that part of it. Hey, listen now, so I'm looking forward to that. I want to talk a little bit more about Gogebic. That was a great. By the way, Grand Marais is one hell of a nice town.
Yeah.
And
yes.
If it's nice now, it's got to be really fun and beautiful in the summer.
What's that restaurant we talked about on the last show, Zep? I take my family up every year to Grand Marais.
We go to Gunflint Tavern. That's the one the girls and I will drive up to and have
Angry
lunch
Trout.
At. Angry Trout.
Yeah.
Is good,
Trout
too.
Angry Trout is closed right now. They're closed for the winter. And Boomer wants me to go to Ole and Sven's or Sven and Ole's.
That's
pizza
me.
Place.
That's me. That's whenever my dad and I go to Canada, it can be 2 in the afternoon and we just ate. My dad makes us go to Sven and Ole's Pizza because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's when we're driving up the shore, Betty's Pie. We could have just ate, but we're stopping and buying a Betty's Pie.
Oh, yeah, Betty's Pie up in Twin Harbors.
As a matter of fact, what's his name? Maxwell Guides. Come on, Maxwell Guides.
Graham Gresseth.
Yeah, as soon as he found out I was up here, he gave me two. He says, Tavern. He said, the Gunflint Tavern for dinner, Betty's Pies for breakfast. You'll thank me later, is what he said.
Yeah. Couple of must hits up on the North Shore and a. I'm glad you're up there. Can't believe you haven't been up to Grand Marais. You must have been close.
Ely's not that far away. You know, I've been there my entire life, but I've never come this far. When you got a hunt shack in Ely, it's like belonging to like having a yacht on the St. Croix River. You know, you feel like you got to go there every weekend because if you have a hunt shack or a cabin, you don't want to go other places. Yeah. You got this invested in there. Yeah. Hey, I want to go back to
Gogebic
and Guy Sibley. I'll tell you what. Boomer is very, very adamant about promoting this young man, but if anyone ever has an opportunity to go there and call Guy and let him take you out to try to catch a couple of jumbos, I don't care what it costs. You look at the equipment and the time and the effort and the everything that goes into these guides, it's a lot of work, and there's a lot of money invested, a lot of time, and they take care of you. We didn't catch much, but the weather screwed us again like we always did, but it's an experience you'll never forget. And all it takes is, like, to watch. You should have seen our buddy Mark. He's fishing by himself, and he's really concentrating this time because his phone was dead and he couldn't watch porn. I walked into his fish house one time and he got a hit and he damn near knocked over his lantern and it was crazy.
The longer you wait, the bigger that hit, more exciting that hit gets.
And you know what? To add to that suspense, Strew, so Mark came in with me for the last half an hour of fishing and why Guy was doing the great guide thing of taking down everyone's houses, getting everyone situated, running people back to shore on the snow machines. Mark and I are there for like the last 15 to 20 minutes, and you can legally have a three-rod setup in the state of Michigan.
Right.
And two are dead sticks, and I'm jigging, power jigging, and all of a sudden we see a red mark. And I'm like, dear God, please let Mark catch a big jumbo perch.
Yeah.
And it goes past my jig, it goes past the one in the middle, and you kind of, when you're dead sticking it, one of the tricks there is just tap your spring barber for whatever fishing you're doing dead sticking. If they don't hit, just give it a little subtle movement, a
over
tap
here.
On the, you know,
over here
I am, big shooter, come and get me.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there's a third rod to the right of me. And Mark, I've never seen a man that's 260 pounds move like a cat. He, like, jumps over whatever's in the ice house and grabs it and rips the rod in the air. And it was awesome. And I go, what the hell are you? And all of a sudden, the rod bends. And I'm like, he's got it. The jumbo went for the rod and our bait on the right side. And he's got about two revolutions, right, of this fish. And you see the rod. It's just like a bent like a U. And I'm like, he's got a big one.
Yeah.
With like 10 minutes left, the big lady has not sung yet. And all of a sudden, when you see a rod, you know how it pops, Zep,
boing.
Like the pressure. It goes, boing.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, while that's happening, it's like slow motion, and you just see this look on Mark's face like, no.
Shooting at a 10-point buck without having a shell in your chamber. That's
yeah,
it.
Right.
I tell you.
I want to take a break here. A couple of quick things. My highlight of the trip in Göbek was listening to Boomer ask Guy Sibley, our guide, when the mayflies hatch. I thought that was hilarious. I'm telling you, and Boom and Mark and I looked at each other. He actually asked. He actually said that. Hey, and here's something interesting that happened tonight, Zep, that I think you'd appreciate. The gentleman we met and had dinner with, well, his name is Buck. He owns a hardware store up here in a little gas station. He's been up here his entire life. He's friends with Lonnie Dupre. He's gone around Greenland with Lonnie Dupre in a kayak. He's climbed.
Oh, yeah.
He's climbed Denali with Lonnie Dupre in the summer, not the January thing.
This is the buck that Lonnie referred to or
right.
referenced
yes.
often when he was on the show.
2 years ago, he biked 7,000 miles from the
why?
North to the south of South America. 3 months.
Well, north
trip.
To south, it's all downhill.
Whatever it is, yeah, it's all downhill. But a great, great guy, a lot of fun. But here's something he's doing here in about sometime shortly here, something you could appreciate. Someplace in Colorado, he's going skiing where they actually started about 9,000 feet,
mm-hmm.
and they ski uphill with skins on the bottom of the ski.
Yep.
Okay? And they go up to like little cabins at 12 or 13,000
yep.
feet, and they stay up there for 3-4 days and ski down.
I wonder if it's the 10th Mountain Division was trained out there in Colorado and fought in the Alps of Italy. And I'm yeah. talking about the northern Italy and the Alps and fought the Nazis over there. Then the 10th Mountain Division guys, it was the only division that we had that were skiers. And we brought them, those guys came home, and those are the guys that started the skiing industry, and they started it in Colorado. In fact, there's a 10th Mountain.
That's cool.
Yeah, they started in Colorado. So all of those ski areas, many of those, Aspen, Vail, were started by guys that came home. Now, guess what? Yeah. Europe's in shambles, and they're broke.
Yeah.
I mean, they're absolutely devastated, so they're not skiing over there in Europe, but these guys saw something over there that really captured their imagination, and it was called a ski lift. That took people up the mountain, and so they could, for a couple of $100, buy one when they were in Europe and have it shipped over here for a little bit of money, and that's where our first ski lifts came from, and they started just popping them in. One of the guys ended up being a friend and then starting Buck Hill down in Burnsville.
Wow.
And I believe that first lift came from Europe as well. So they started the ski industry. When you're in Colorado, there's a very unique tour that you can take that I was lucky enough to do many years ago when I was, you know, in much better shape, and that is the 10th Mountain Division has put a series of yurts up there. You guys know what a yurt is? It's basically a tent that always stays there. It's a wood structured tent.
Yeah,
so it's a canvas.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're all at about 10,000 feet, 9 to 10,000 feet. And you skin up. It's called touring. You put these, they used to use seal skins. Now they use a fabric, and allows you to put them on the bottom of your skis, and you have touring bindings that allow you to be free heeled, and you're able to walk up the mountain on your skis. It's basically turns your skis into a big snowshoe.
Yeah.
And then you go from yurt to yurt hiking and then skiing down and hiking up and skiing down and hiking up. It's the 10th Mountain Division. Google that ski tour in Colorado, and it's an amazing experience. And I don't know if that's the one he's doing, but I'm suspicious that it might be. And
have
yeah,
you, so you have had an opportunity to do that?
Yes, I have.
Oh, what a thrill. He was telling me that what it takes this is such a popular event or activity.
Yeah.
You have to make reservations a year in advance if you want one of the spots in one of those cabins on top of the mountain.
I was lucky enough that my buddy got a job guiding for that service.
Oh boy.
And so I got kind of snuck in on that deal.
Well, you're Zep.
No, well, not down there, I'm not.
That's some really cool history, though, Zep, about how those, you know, those lifts came up the mountains and where that came from. I had no idea.
Yeah, skiing with the 10th Mountain Division brought skiing and ski lifts and modern-day skiing that we have now here in the United States and a huge industry that it is, was brought back by that greatest generation, those World War II soldiers that got hooked on skiing.
Well, I'll tell you what, boys. I'm going to let you guys go, and I'm going to go sit in the hot tub with a gorgeous blonde here in a couple of seconds with a cocktail, and I will text you tomorrow.
Please.
And maybe I'll try to Facebook a couple of photographs and videos if I can. And hopefully we get out, and I'll let you know what happens. I'm so excited, and thanks for the Ticket Outdoors for being part of the reason I am here right now. Thanks, boys.
Thank you, Shrew. We will be following along, and we can't wait to hear the big wrap-up next Wednesday. And good luck out there tomorrow. Stay warm.
You bet. Take care, boys.
All right, thanks, man.
See you, buddy. Be safe.
Pretty cool. Strew up there living the life. There he is,
big
way up there doing
an airplane with the DNR, man.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, I hope he gets a chance to get up there and get out there. And I know the weather's brutal, and it's going to continue to be for the next several days. I think Friday, we all of a sudden warm up to 30, where we're supposed to be, and then back in the tank this weekend.
You know, something cool, Zep, when we were talking about Gogebic, and now we're talking about Moose and why Strew there and how this fits is, one of the guys that I met at the local volunteer ice fishing tournament up in Gogebic that one day, he actually had from his phone, he was in his deer hunting blind.
Yeah.
He had a moose walk within 10 yards of his blind, and he caught it on phone. And it was a nice, I don't know, maybe a four-year-old moose. It had about maybe a 50-inch spread on the rack.
Yeah.
Walk right by him, and he said he about crapped his pants because they're not used to seeing him up there.
Yeah, I was just in Colorado here recently and saw a big elk. We're just driving along down, I think it might have been, no, it wasn't 70. We gotten off on Highway 6, that's right, because the Loveland Pass Road, and saw a cow elk, and then looked back behind me and saw the big old bull standing down the hill a little bit. That's an amazing thing. Still have not seen a moose in the wild.
I have not seen one yet either.
I mean, I think maybe I've seen moose before, but, you know, not out in the wild and certainly not in Minnesota. So a unique opportunity for Strew. There we go. It's that time of year. I'm pretty much, that's how I sound all winter long. I'll start to clear up in the spring. Walleye Dan, we love it outdoors. Fox Sports North.
We love it.
Our guest coming up on Ticket Outdoors.
Pure Sports Talk, 105 The Ticket.
You're a business owner. You know how it goes. Money comes in, money goes out. But when there's a cash flow hiccup, you need a little help. Get the working capital you need right when you need it at Sign on the Line Capital. Even when your bank says no, Sign on the Line can say yes. Like banks, we make it fast and simple with up to a 95% approval rate and speedy cash. Payroll glitch? No problem. Need new equipment? No problem. We've helped thousands of business owners with fast help and flexible repayment plans. Get approved for up to $250,000 in just 12 hours. No collateral, no application fees, and your credit rating doesn't matter either. Get your cash in as little as 2 to 3 days. It's fast, easy, and painless. So call now, 800-838-7355. That's 800-838-7355. 800-838-7355. When you need it.
Check out the great deals on quality Dakota wood products now at Menards. Perfect for home or business. Save big on Dakota brand panel products, trim, molding, boards, and more. Turn any wall into a storage space with Dakota Panel Slat Wall. Great for organizing laundry rooms, workshops, and garages. It features a paintable surface plus a dense wood fiber core for durability. Save big on a 4x8-foot paintable slat wall panel by Dakota on sale now at Menards for just $29.99 after rebate. Or choose from a great selection of other Dakota brand products, also on sale. 4x8-foot white slat wall panels feature a durable finish, just $34.99 after rebate. Special order colors of Dakota slat wall are also available. Plus, all slat wall accessories, including hooks and brackets, are on sale.
Save big money at Menards.
The iconic Minnesota Deer Classic Sport Expo is back at the National Sports Center in Blaine, March 6th through the 8th, featuring the biggest names in the hunting industry with new products, techniques, and seminars. Chat with top guide services, and official antler and trophy measuring is free. Bring the kids for the fishing pond and join the boys from the Ticket Outdoors Sunday, March 8th for a live broadcast from 11 to 1. That's the Minnesota Deer Classic at the National Sports Center in Blaine from March 6th through the 8th. For more information, visit nscsports.com.
From the Mills Fleet Farm Studios, WTVX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WTVZ Eden Prairie, a Cumulus station.
In the history of Minnesota baseball, there's one name that means legend, Killebrew. And when you gather together, there's only one old-fashioned root beer that delivers that Hall of Fame taste to the thirsty fans this winter. That's Killebrew. Your whole family will love Minnesota-made Killebrew old-fashioned root beer and cream soda. Pick up a six-pack or a case at your favorite grocery store and get set to cheer on the fun. Enjoy Killebrew root beer. It's how memories are created and legends are made.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
All right, we're just talking about a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And we've got our guest here. Sorry, I know Walleye Dan joining us here on Ticket Outdoors, Dan Eigen. We love it outdoors, walleyedan.com. You'll find him on Fox Sports North. We all follow along with he and the family. We Love It Outdoors is a Mills Fleet Farm production, not a lot unlike our own. We just don't have to look pretty for the cameras. Walleye Dan, welcome to Ticket Outdoors.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Where are we finding you tonight?
Well, you know what? I am actually parked outside of the church that we attend up here in Baxter. My wife and I and one of our daughters is on the cleanup crew in the kitchen, and they are still in the church, and I'm sitting in my F-150 talking to you fellas.
We got you out of kitchen duty tonight.
You did. Actually, we're all cleaned up, so it's all good.
Hey, Dan Boomer, we knew that was the strategy to get you, is wait till you had cleaning duty. Yeah.
I wonder how many times he goes out to the F-150 and just leaves the seat back saying, oh, I got to do an interview, gang. I'll be right back.
It worked out really well, guys.
We're happy to have you on, and we know about your we know the show. We Love It Outdoors on Fox Sports North, and it's great that you include your family in a lot of that. But recently, I was reading your blog. You had a chance to go over and do that sturgeon spearing with those, you know, not the little spears that we talked about up in Devil's Lake, but those big trident-looking things up on Lake Winnebago. Is that where it was, Dan?
Yes, that is where we were, and yeah, it was quite the experience, guys. And yeah, the spear is like a 20-pounder, and I don't even know how long it is, but custom made. Just everything about that experience was just something out of the norm. So it was cool.
Hey, Dan Boomer here. How you doing, man?
Hey, Boomer. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I am doing awesome. I am by no means an expert spear fisherman. I do a little bit of time on the water with the rod and the reel, but when it comes to spearfishing, you know, when you have that massive sturgeon, I think of spearfishing here where, you know, most people don't understand, you just kind of release the spear and it kind of does all the work. But when you're targeting something like a sturgeon, is it that same type of approach?
Well, I think it is, you know, because the spear is so much heavier.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the tines, you know, the tips are so sharp and, you know, I mean, you still have to, you know, help it along, but like I say, it's so heavy that, you know, and I think I probably threw, I did throw at one on Sunday at about 10 o'clock in the morning. We had one cross the pipe, and I can explain that after a bit, but, and yeah, I mean, I probably threw it too hard. You know, the heart was pumping, and I threw it,
yep.
And I stuck it in the mud. So, yeah, it was kind of a bummer, but...
Oh, they talk about those quarterbacks. They start the game and they throw a couple of passes over the receiver's head. They got a little adrenaline going. Then you've got to settle in.
Oh, you got it. I totally, you know, airmailed that one, but actually not. I mean, we looked at it on footage after, and, you know, it's so hard, guys, because you see that fish come through and you've got a split second to decide if you're going to throw. I mean, the head was wide. And there's a 36-inch slot there, so obviously I knew that it was, you know, it was 50, 60-incher.
Nice.
So I knew it was big enough, but it crossed the PVC pipe, and then it disappeared into the bottom. I could not see it. So at that point, you need to guess on what line it's taken. And I threw the spear, and like I say, I came up with mud.
Hey, Dan, how deep a water are you spearing in?
We were in about 17 feet of water.
Wow. You know, Dan... One of the things that we've seen a little bit on this show, along with, you know, the craze of how ice fishing has been growing over the last couple of years, is spear fishing has been growing with it. Is that something you're seeing as well?
I think so. I think there's a new generation that is kind of, you know, getting into it. And, you know, what I found interesting up here in the Brainerd Lakes area is I was talking with a guy that I know, and, you know, he kind of enlightened me a little bit on the fact that, you know, some of these spear fishermen are now letting fish go, you know, passing them, not throwing the spear at them. And I'm thinking, how cool is that, you know?
Yeah.
They see a bigger fish, and they say, you know what, I could have stuck it, but I didn't. So I think that's pretty neat.
Wow, that is pretty neat. You know, Dan, we have kind of the same feeling of excitement you talk about. Maybe the one that you missed, a group of us were up fishing on Lake Gogebic after those large perch, and it was a lot like hunting. I was telling our listeners before you jumped on, is you didn't mark a lot of them on the Vexilar right away, but when you did, boy, your heartbeat raced up, and honestly, we all whiffed on a few of them, mm-hmm. just because it was just like seeing that buck in the woods in Bacchus, Minnesota or something. It was like, pa-pump, pa-pump, pa-pump. But, Dan, you mentioned the PVC. Can you explain to our listeners what that PVC symbolized to you when you were spearing?
Yeah, so we had, you know, like two, well, you've got a PVC pipe that they cut in half, a 12-footer, and then they put them together with an eye bolt, so you would actually have three of them, three halves, with the rounded PVC facing up, you know, so it doesn't collect a lot of silt. And then you spread that out so it looks kind of like a snowflake. You drop it down your hole, try to get those PVCs spread out, and we actually had two of them down. So you've got this really large area of coverage where you've got, you know, something to, you know, a reference point, and a contrasting color, you know. So if you see that sturgeon coming, you know, he might cross the corner of the pipe, and it's kind of like, okay, heads up, you know, he might come across this corner, or he might not show up again, but you have an idea where he is swimming so you can then release. But that's what it is just so you can actually see the fish, because, you know, in 17 feet of water with kind of a gray bottom, they really, you can't even see them once they get past the piping.
You know, Dan, I don't have the answer to this question, but, you know, we often talk about cold fronts as fishermen and what it can do to impact the bite. Does a cold front impact how you approach spearfishing?
You know, that's a great question, and that is the same question that I asked, I think, Ryan Koenig, the sturgeon specialist up there on the Winnebago system. And he said no. He said they're on the move. You know, they're feeding on bloodworms. You know, especially this year because the shad population is so low. Typically, shad will die, you know, in the really cold. You know, they're sensitive to the really cold water, so they'll die off. But the population is so low that you know, these fish just, you know, have been looking, rooting around for worms, we'll say. But yeah, he said that the cold front really does not have a lot to do with it. But the last day that we were there, it seemed like there was a little bit more fish movement, and that was after that front finally, you know, was kind of settled in. So,
huh? You know, I think about when we spearfish here, you think about the decoy approach, right? Either a live bait, or you have that beautiful wooden decoy that now there's even, like, I think in Alexandria they even have decoy shows for spearfishing. What kind of decoy do you use for a sturgeon?
Oh, that's one of the funniest things there is, because I saw just a wide variety from bowling pins to, I don't know if you guys have kids, but when our kids were little, we had this little round ball that kind of had rubber knobs hanging off of it, and it would vibrate, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, someone had one of those hanging down there. Another guy had a disco ball.
You're just trying to get their attention.
You're trying to get their attention, but you know what? This is kind of funny. When I had to step out of the house to take a leak on Sunday, and I just looked around, you know, and I'm thinking, with all these houses out there and all these people trying to decoy them, I was thinking, maybe they're like turkeys, you know, maybe they get decoy shy, you know. So I came back into the house, pulled up my decoys, and about 20 minutes later, that's when I threw my spear without a decoy down. So I don't know. And once again, like this Ryan Koenig said, he goes, you know what, Dan? He goes, there is so much superstition involved in this sport, you know, with people that think you got to be here, you got to be using this decoy, or, you know, and it's true. It's I think it's kind of human nature. We always think that we've got the answer, but, you know, bottom line is you just have to have that big bugger swim by.
Boom.
Yeah, you know, Dan, I was going to ask you, when most people think of walleye fishing or we target crappies or sunnies, there's a lot of recipes that are available on to cook them. And then we all laugh about catching that burbot, right? We call it poor man's lobster, where you boil it in some Sprite and figure it out. What's sturgeon like? Or did they talk to you like, when you, if you get a sturgeon, how do you cook it? Or what, yeah, what's that all about?
You know what? I heard a couple different things. You know, some people say that, you know, you just kind of like the poor man's lobster. And I'm trying to think of what he said. And it wasn't just dip it in butter.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Lots of butter, maybe.
Yeah, and it, I can't remember what he said. But another way that they do it is they smoke it. They say it's excellent. And then you've also obviously got the caviar, you know, if you, you know, get a female.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, our guest, Dan Eigen, Walleye Dan. Why am I trying to pronounce the whole name? WalleyeDan.com. We love it outdoors. Dan, do you have just a few more minutes? We can take a quick break, a two-minute break, and come back and talk a little bit about the Walleye Dan Guide Service and We Love It Outdoors and some of your adventures this winter.
Absolutely.
All right, let's take that break. Remember, folks, take the worry out of winter driving by riding on a new set of tires from Mills Fleet Farm. Fleet Farm carries all the best brands, Michelin, BF Goodrich, Cooper, Roadrunner, and a lot more you're going to find it at Mills Fleet Farm. We're coming back with Walleye Dan on Ticket Outdoors.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Coming back into the corner, and Kevin Harvick hasn't given up yet, but the leader is Jeff Gordon.
We're kicking off our NASCAR season this week with two race days. Thursday at 5 p.m., the Budweiser Duel 125. And Sunday at 11 a.m., the Daytona 500.
Hi, this is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Men have asked themselves since the dawn of time, when it's time, will I be ready? Is it the size or how I use it? No need to worry. Lakes Trading Company has you covered. They buy, sell, and trade firearms of all sizes. No matter snow, wind, rain, or shine, Lakes Trading Company will give you a place to master your skills at their indoor shooting range. Lakes Trading Company, just off Highway 61 in Forest Lake, is your gun specialist with an unbelievable product line, knowledgeable staff, and permit to carry classes. Visit online at lakestradingco.com and be locked, loaded, and ready.
For family fun, work, or play, Field & Forest jeans from Mills Fleet Farm are comfortable and durable. Carpenter or bootcut styles, just $12.99. Give your furry friends healthy nutrition with Hill's brand pet foods. Get a $10 gift card when you buy select sizes of dog, puppy, cat, or kitten food. Keep your water softener clean and trouble-free with Diamond Crystal Zeo Tabs. 40 pounds, just $4.19. Find more great deals online at fleetfarm.com.
This is a message to all parents. Your kids are leaving. Maybe not today, maybe not next year, but it will happen. They will grow up, get lives, and go. So what can you do right now to enjoy this painfully one-sided relationship? Trap them. That's right, on a boat from Dan's Southside Marine. See, your little self-focused darlings will take one look at that Alumacraft boat, Premier Pontoon, or Stingray Powerboat from Dan's and see cool, fun, and complete and utter awesomeness. You will see quality, experience, and incredible customer service. But best of all, you'll see your kids and make lasting memories before they ditch you and then chuck their education to follow their muse, which will not afford them a boat from Dan's. But you can console them on yours. This just keeps working.
Dan Southside Marina's combined manufacturers rebates with clearance pricing on all remaining 2014 Alumacraft, Premier, and Stingray boats to save you the most money possible. Go to DanSouthsideMarine.com.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Welcome back, Ticket Outdoors. I'm Zep Boomer in studio. Our producer, Mark Lukey, Strewman, he's up running with the moose in northern Minnesota. Want to thank our sponsors, Dan Southside Marine, Fleet Farm, Alumacraft, and our new sponsor, Lakes Trading Company, Gun Range and Shop up in Forest Lake. Swing in and say hi to them. Rerun the show Sunday mornings at 6 o'clock. Podcast on 105theticket.com. Walleye Dan, our guest. We love it outdoors, you know. The show, Fox Sports North, I love to watch the show and catch it as often as I can. I remember watching when we had the satellite. I was back home at Great Plains hunting, and you guys did a show. You were talking off the air. It may have been a rerun, but you've done some bird hunting out in South Dakota.
Oh, absolutely. And that wasn't a rerun, but it was a year ago in January that we were out in near Akaska, South Dakota.
Is there a certain time of the year you film a lot of these? Or Walleye Dan, does this keep you going pretty much around the calendar?
You know, it. I would say that it is pretty much around the calendar. We, you know, we've been doing, I would say, on average, you know, one a month. I mean, we actually just finished up the Sturgeon Show. Would have been our 13th show for the 2015 season.
When's that one going to air?
What's that?
When's the Sturgeon Show going to hit the...
The Sturgeon Show will actually air, I think, towards the end of March.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Look yeah, forward. So that'll be one of the quickest turnarounds, yeah.
Hey, Dan, you know, when we're driving up on 371 and we're headed to whatever lake adventure in the T-Pro there, I always kind of smile because I see the big Walleye Dan side yeah. there. And I was going to ask, how do you balance the guiding business where you got your roots and learned... Or not learn, but, you know, you were out there a lot taking folks and teaching them how to fish with now we love it outdoors.
Oh, you know what? That's a great question. And you know what? I have to give credit to the beautiful one sitting right next to me here, Shelly. Say hi, Shelly.
Hello, Shelly.
Yeah, she's the one that actually, you know, she books all the trips. And, you know, we have a really awesome group of guides that, you know, they've you know, obviously are out there almost every day from June 15th through, say, Labor Day. But I still am out there guiding. But you know what? It's been one of those things where the show has been so fun for me. And, you know, after guiding for 25 years, it's one of those things where you just really, you know, there comes a time where change is needed. And, yeah. you know, although I still enjoy getting out a couple times a week, the TV show couldn't have come at a better time. So it's just been an awesome blessing.
Well, I tell you, Dan, one of the things that I appreciate about We Love It Outdoors is, you know, having my daughter, Sophia, who's 8, she comes with on a lot of the adventures that I do from different film or photos and whatnot. And I totally look up and respect the fact that you always seem to have the family in mind and the family involved in your shows. So, one, thank you for doing that as a spokesperson for the sport. But was that something that when you were planning We Love It Outdoors that you said, you know what, this is going to be one of the values that we have in this show when we're looking at our different stories or whatnot?
You know, that would be my ideal situation, you know, just because of the fact that my kids are young. I've got a 12-year-old. Son, a 14-year-old daughter, and an 18-year-old daughter. And it's one of those things where, yeah, you know, you've only got so much time with them. And in the perfect world, I would have one of them on each show, or, you know, or maybe we would do a family show each year, you know, if that's what they wanted to do. But, it's one of those deals where, family is important. And, you know, my dad brought me, you know, every weekend he had a regular job, we'll say, but he brought my brother and I out hunting and fishing about every weekend. So I'm trying to instill those same things in my children.
So what is what's next for you, Walleye Dan? So you just got done chasing some big sturgeon with the 20-pound custom spear. What's going to be the next big adventure for you?
You know what? We're heading to the Dominican Republic.
Ah.
No, but we're not filming, actually. We're going to take a little vacation, you know, half vacation or three-quarter vacation, and then part mission trip to the Dominican Republic. So I do not know at this point what the next show will be. I will get those, you know, that directive, we'll say, when I get back. But, it's just, I don't know where it's going from here, but I do know that turkey season's coming, late panfish is coming, my boat is ready, we got the Rainy River, we've got so many things that are coming as I'm looking at the 8 below on my dash here.
You're already halfway to the Dominican Republic.
Oh. I think I am. I mean, I'm butt white, and I've got a roll hanging over my belt right now. But, yes, I am excited about going to the Dominican Republic.
Walleye Dan at walleyedan.com. Also, We Love It Outdoors. We're looking forward to that sturgeon adventure that you had over there at Lake Winnebago and that lake system here. We'll look for that sometime in March on Fox Sports North. Can't thank you enough for spending some time with us. I know you're with the family and you're out, sitting out in the truck. And like you said, it's 8 below. We're going to let you move along with your evening. Thank you so much for being a part of Ticket Outdoors, Walleye Dan.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Take care.
There you go.
Walleye Dan, that's pretty cool. I mean, there's a guy that... I mean, you got to love, he's got the fishing guide service, successful for 25 years in the Brainerd Lakes area, a beautiful family, and now he's got a TV show going, and he's just hopping around all sorts of adventures, from Wall Drug, South Dakota, to Goose, and everything in between.
And you know what's cool is taking time to do show interviews like this. Thanks Mills Fleet Farm for being a huge sponsor of our show, and thanks to Walleye Dan. I mean... He's out there at church. That, you know, that's kind of sacred family time where they're spending the opportunity to hang out. And you know what? He sneaks into this car.
And you get live radio for the good or worse of it with Ticket Outdoors. And a lot of our guests, how many guests have we talked to sitting along the side of the road in their pickup truck?
Yeah, that was really cool. You know, speaking about that, the good and the worst of Ticket Outdoors, Zep, one of the special things that's going to be out there for our listeners, and if you haven't fanned us, like us on Facebook.com/... The Ticket Outdoors.
Between you and Mark and Strew, I mean, you guys are always throwing stuff up there.
Yeah, a lot about that in our guests. But the other thing that's going to be coming really quick is we are creeping on doing 100 shows here for the Ticket Outdoors.
Really?
Can you believe that?
We
are creeping on 100 shows for the Ticket Outdoors.
And you might get your first check one of these days.
Yes! Yeah, we get paid at 100. We get paid every 100 shows.
I love it.
That's going to be a big one. Hey, guys, let's take a break. Do you guys want to talk to George for a little bit and we can do the lake report?
All right. Absolutely.
George Krog, an elderly hunter lobbying for older folks to be exempt from the deer lottery and to be able to get out and at a certain age be guaranteed a deer a doe tag each year. We'll talk to George when we come back with Ticket Outdoors.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
I think someone better pee test Tiger Woods. I said that a long time ago.
But how dare the PGA do anything like that to their chosen son?
Passionate sports talk on your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
Boomer here from the Ticket Outdoors and my friends at Alumacraft Boats, the official boat sponsor of the Ticket Outdoors. Even though the temps are cold and you guys know I love to talk about ice fishing, right now is an awesome time to buy a new boat because Alumacraft is featuring their annual Alumacash promotion. Get instant rebates of up to $1,600 to use as a down payment or subtract from the sale price. See your local dealer and find out why Minnesota's Alumacraft is the best deal on the water.
This is a message to all parents. Your kids are leaving. Maybe not today, maybe not next year, but it will happen. They will grow up, get lives, and go. So what can you do right now to enjoy this painfully one-sided relationship? Trap them. That's right, on a boat from Dan's Southside Marine. See, your little self-focused darlings will take one look at that Alumacraft boat, Premier Pontoon, or Stingray Powerboat from Dan's and see cool, fun, and complete and utter awesomeness. You will see quality, experience, and incredible customer service. But best of all, you'll see your kids. And make lasting memories before they ditch you, then chuck their education to follow their muse, which will not afford them a boat from Dan's. But you can console them on yours. This just keeps working.
Dan's Southside Marina's combined manufacturers rebates with clearance pricing on all remaining 2014 Alumacraft, Premier, and Stingray boats to save you the most money possible. Go to DansSouthsideMarine.com.
You know, there's still plenty of winter left, but how much tread is left on your old tires? Well, Mills Fleet Farm has just what you need to stay safe while weathering the rest of winter. Buy four select tires, our expert technicians will install them, and we'll give you a $50 Fleet Farm gift card. Roadrunner, Cooper, VF Goodrich, Mastercraft, and Michelin. All the best brands at the best prices at Mills Fleet Farm.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Letting her play out there a little bit.
Sorry, I'm twerking over here.
Joe Giuliano there with the theme for Ticket Outdoors. He gets paid after 100 episodes, too. We got Mark Lukey, our producer, Boomer in studio. Struzinski, he's probably up there making a move on Diana right now.
He's on about his third Christian in water right now.
Right, exactly. So, no, I really, it'll be interesting to see what he has to say, because I think we caught him a little bit early. It's Wednesday night, but he hasn't really had a chance to get out.
Right.
He's going to do that in the next day or two, and we'll get more on that next Wednesday. Our guest now, this is interesting. Hold on, let me get him on the phone. I've been waiting to talk to this guy all show. We've had Walleye Dan. We've had Guy Sibley on. Struzinski's up there, but I've been waiting to talk with George. Is it Krog?
Krog.
Krog, thank you. Thank you for correcting me.
Yeah, you got it right, sir.
All right, thank you, George. George, welcome to Ticket Outdoors.
Well, thank you.
Where are we calling you at tonight?
Well, you ask the questions, and I'll see if I can answer them for you, sir.
Where are you at? Where's home base tonight?
Well, I'm in Two Harbors, Minnesota.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Yeah, and it's 15 below right now.
Yeah, we're not doing much better here, but you've got that lake wind up there, too. Yeah, that makes it extra special.
Right. Well, it's wintertime. What the heck?
Yeah, well, I mean, this isn't foreign to you. Now, George, they tell us we've got global warming, and we've got this and that. By the way, do you mind if I mention your age? Because it's part of the story that we're doing here.
No. You know what, sir? I'm proud of my age. I got this far.
Good. Yeah. 84. I mean, I don't think any of us expect to get to 84. You're 84 years old. George, what did you do for a living?
I used to be a machinist. I was a machinist for 42 years.
Yeah. And enjoying your retirement?
Oh, I've got 22 years of being retired, so it's the best thing to ever invent a suspender.
Congratulations. George Krog, our guest. He's up in Two Harbors tonight, and you're our guest because you believe that folks your age should be exempt from the deer lottery, the doe tag lottery.
Yes, I feel we should. I mean, we've paid our dues for the many years.
Yep.
And you know, we'd like to extend our hunting season a little longer, if we can.
George, did you get a tag this past year?
No, I bought my license, and in this area, it was bucks only.
Bucks only. So you didn't have a chance to get out this season.
Well, oh yes, I was
out. You did.
Well, see, I start my season in October. I scout the area I'm going to hunt in. And then I know exactly when the season opens what I can expect.
Yeah.
And all I saw was does.
Right.
So I knew that it's going to be kind of tough. Although about the second week in October, I saw one buck, but I never saw him again. But I figured if the does are around, why not the bucks aren't around, you know?
So, George.
Yes.
Where are the bucks?
Yeah, now you're talking.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can give us kind of a unique perspective. You've got a lot more years under your belt hunting in that area.
Right. And you know, they're creatures of habit. I have been very successful by scouting the areas, and I know exactly on opening day what I'm going to shoot.
Yeah.
But and I've seen bucks. They'll be there. I can at a certain time in the morning. They're there. And every day at that particular time, they're making their round, and I know they're there. But there was no bucks this year, only does. So I went to the DNR office here in Two Harbors.
Yeah.
And asked the warden if he could issue me a doe permit. But he said, no, he didn't have the authority. But then, so I says, well, I accepted that. You know, you either ask yes or no.
Yeah, you asked a question, you got an answer.
So I got an answer. Well, then I hunted another day or two, and then I went back to the DNR office, and the girls were there. They said, why don't you write to the head man at the DNR in the city? And I did.
What city, George?
Your city.
Our city, okay.
Yeah, down here in Minneapolis.
In good old Minneapolis and St. Paul.
It was either Minneapolis or St. Paul. I'm not sure.
What did you say in the letter? Just kind of the gist of it.
Well, I said, I told him I was 80, at that time I was an 83-year-old hunter. I've been hunting all my life, and the only I missed 4 years because those 4 years I was in the service. So, and then I said, this year I know it was bucks only, but I only saw a doe. I said, is it possible that you could issue me a doe permit? Well, I did get a return.
Okay.
He did return to me, and I was grateful.
All right.
He said that there was nothing in the laws or regulations that would allow him to do that. But he says you should go to your legislators.
All right.
Well, I just did exactly what he told me.
You're pretty adamant about this. First of all, George.
Yes.
Have you seen a year like this? I got to believe in the 70-some years you've been hunting, minus 4 years that you served your country, and thank you for that, you must have seen years where there just weren't buck.
Yes, I have.
Okay, but now feel like you're at an age, you don't know how many hunting seasons you've got less, and you want to shoot something, and this isn't about just shooting something, you want to put some meat in the freezer, I imagine.
See, I'm a meat hunter.
Yeah.
See, what happened was, when I was in high school, I shot a huge buck. Oh, I was so proud. Man, that was it. Well, it was time to cut him up and bring him for supper to eat.
Yeah.
And I lived I was an orphan, and I lived with a Swedish family in Port Wing, Wisconsin. And she says, why don't you cut that up and we'll have that for supper?
Yeah.
So I said, well, yes. Well, I cut it up, and she came back. She says, we can't eat this. And I said, why? Well, she says, smell it. And when I was cutting them, it didn't smell right.
Well, those big buck, they can get a little gamey.
They were in rut.
Yeah.
Well, so my neighbor, he was watching what I was doing, and he's the guy that helped me and learn how to hunt. And he says, when I saw you kill that big buck, I knew exactly what was going to happen. So I says, well, what happens? He says, I've seen it. And I have done it myself, he said. Those big dominating bucks, wherever a deer doe urinates, they eat during the breeding season, and that gets in the meat. Well, you could almost smell it.
Yeah. Well, you know what, George?
And that is.
I'll be honest with you. Big bucks. We've had big bucks that have been so gamey. We brought a big bull, elk, back from Montana and had to throw half of it away. We don't throw meat away. We had to throw half of it away. It was just too stinky. They get too gamey. I hadn't heard the urine eating before. Well, I just assumed that they were in rut so much and they were a dominant buck or bull for so long that the meat just got maybe a little too gamey.
That's what he told me, and I believe it because I could almost smell it in the meat.
George, I'm not 84, but I know, like you know, that the best eaters are the doe or the real young buck.
And the spikers.
And the real young buck, of course.
Well, anyway.
But you don't want to shoot a young buck if you don't have to. So in South Dakota, if we don't shoot a buck, we can then go use our buck tag to shoot a doe.
Well, good for you.
It's a little different. But now you want to, so this isn't just, hey, I'm 84 years old, I want to get out and shoot something. You want to put some meat in the freezer.
Yeah, because I'm a meat hunter. After that, I never shot a big buck. Well, anyways, I also hunt in Wisconsin with my nieces and my nephew.
Mm-hmm.
And I hunt on my sister's property. But, I only go down there just to be with them, and if I get a deer, that's a bonus.
Right.
Well, anyway, it was the same thing down there. We didn't see any bucks either, and nobody got any bucks.
Yeah.
But this old-timer finally figured out why. You know, there's reasons for things to happen.
I want to hear this.
Let's hear it.
Anyway, they were 1 week late in the rut. The bucks were already done their breeding. And when that happens, their metabolism isn't changed only to browse. And in Wisconsin, they could bait deer, so only the does come in, and they couldn't eat the grain. They only can eat browse, so they go to their winter range, and that's it. That's why we never saw any.
So, George, now, for our listeners, we have George Crow on. Diehard deer hunter from Two Harbors, Minnesota, 84 years old, and is on a mission for a certain age of hunter to get an automatic doe permit from the Minnesota DNR. Went to his Two Harbors DNR office, knocked on the door during deer season and said, I'm not seeing any bucks. Give me a doe permit. They said, follow the DNR down in the cities. He followed up with a letter or phone call. So, George, where are we sitting right now? What's cooking?
Well, we're sitting right now where I wrote to the legislature. I wrote it to Thomas Bach.
Okay. That's your state representative.
Right.
Yeah, for that
and
district.
And he's introducing a bill that anyone 84 years of age will receive a permit to take either sec.
Well, now, you got to be 84? Does it start at like 80? Or has it got to be 84?
Well, I told them to start at 80.
But, about 49.
But they said when I talked to the gal in his office, and she told me what the bill was, and she said he had 84.
The George Krogh bill. It kind of has a ring to it. You know,
George, you're going to be famous. You're not a bachelor, are you? Are you a bachelor up there, George?
No, I'm not. This year I'll be married 49 years.
Oh, good for you.
Well, but the payoff was for me the last day of Minnesota deer season.
Yeah.
I just came back from Wisconsin because I hadn't shot anything and we didn't have any. And I'm sitting in my front room and all of a sudden this this pickup drives up in my driveway. So I go to the door and here is the game warden from Two Harbors here. He says, do you want a deer? Well, I says, yeah, well, let's see what you have. So I went out and looked in his pickup, and here was this big buck. So he says, I says, yeah, I'll take him. And I says, how come I get him? Well, the head man at the DNR in the cities there told him, you got to get a deer for George. So anyway, he did. He said, I'll bring it up to the fairgrounds. It's only an hour old. I'll gut it out for you and bring it back.
It's okay. True. The squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Yeah, right. So anyway, he
brought
it back.
Don't be trying that, Dad.
He brought it back and he says, I gotta have the head for evidence. Well, I said, that's fine. I can't eat the horse. So I cut the head off of him, and then I rigged up my deal in my garage where I could hoist him up and skin him out.
Yep.
And then I sawed him in two, and I scrubbed him. You could eat off him because this is what I'm going to eat.
Sure, well, he's a big buck. Smell okay?
Well, I was a little leery because of the experience I had when I was younger.
You bet.
Well, anyway, when I was skinning him out, and I made attempt to smell him and make sure, and he smelled pretty good.
So, all right.
So I let him hang for almost that was on Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, the next Friday,
it's not a heated garage, obviously, so you let him freeze.
My temperature in my garage was just ideal. See, I'm an old-time butcher.
Yeah, okay.
It was 40 degrees, and it was just perfect.
Yep, just like your fridge.
Yeah, just like a fridge. Well, I cut him up, and I brought some steak in for my wife. I said, let's fry them up and let's have them see how they taste. And they were delicious.
And you got a freezer full now.
Yes.
All right.
And my wife even cans it. And my freezer is full. And, man, we've been eating off of him. And, I've eaten venison most of my life. And it's good meat, and it's good meat for you.
Yeah, it really is good meat for you, good lean meat. Well, George, it's really quite a story. That's actually pretty. I love that the head DNR guy down here made sure that you were taken care of. But are you going to follow up on this bill thing? I mean, are they going to get back to you?
After I found out what Thomas Bach did, I sent him a thank you note saying, thank you for helping us old-timer hunters, we have a chance to continue to hunt, and it just helps those who are older are still able to go out to, in that wood and do what we have been doing for years.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, there's not one person here, and we vary in ages from, you know, our 30s to our 50 here to
you're
older.
Young
fellows. Yeah, yeah, well, yeah. By comparison, certainly. Yeah. And there isn't one person here that said, well, that doesn't sound fair to me. I mean, that doesn't seem unfair to me. Why not? When you hit a certain age, when you've been, when you're here your whole entire life, you've served your country, you're a good citizen, and you want to get a deer tag, for crying out loud, give the guy a deer tag.
Well, ever since I was old enough to buy a license. Now, look at all the years I've put my dues in, I bought a license.
Yeah.
I think they could at least help us a little bit. That's my feeling, and to help other hunters my age do the same thing. I don't want to sit in that rocker chair that I got and say, now, why didn't I do it when I could?
Right.
Because that time could be tomorrow.
Well, you're an amazing fella, George, and one of my very favorite guests, I got to tell you. And you sound like you've got a lot of spirit. You sound fantastic for 84. You really do. I don't know what I was expecting, but...
Well, I'll tell you what. 3 years ago, I had a stitch put in my heart.
Yeah.
And every year, I go to my heart doctor for a complete physical. Well, she runs me through the bill. Well, last May, she just did every test there was, and she all she could say was, normal, normal, normal. So finally I said, wait, take me 83 years to just be normal?
I got a feeling you're going to be hunting for a long time yet, George.
I sure hope so.
All right, well, thank you. Would you say hello to the missus for us?
I sure will, and thank you.
All right, and enjoy the rest of that buck the rest of this winter, and good luck next season. Don't be surprised if we check in with you.
Well, if this, I'll tell you what, if that season goes through, Brown is done.
That a boy, George.
George Krogh, Two Harbors, thank you for spending time with us on Ticket Outdoors.
Thank you.
All right, God bless.
Yeah. Bye.
Well, I'll tell you what, that officially goes down as my favorite guest in 100, near 100 shows of Ticket Outdoors. I just love that fellow. And you know what? I'll tell you, I wouldn't be surprised. Now, I know this Representative Thomas Bach. I don't know anything about him. But if I were he, of course, it's not a lot big part of your constituency, but why not?
Yeah,
at
why not?
80 or something like that, let him go ahead and have a doe tag. Does, what are they going to... What's that population?
How does that bill not pass?
I mean, go ahead, sign off. Who votes against it?
Yeah. I would even make a case to lower the age limit so when folks get to a spot in life like my dad, and you know what, give them a damn doe permit.
Exactly.
For,
and he makes a very good point. And these are the people that we grew up with and grew up around. It's meat in the freezer. I mean, that's your meat in the freezer. I mean, these guys have always been butchering it. Now, to go out and ask this 84-year-old man, I'm sure on a very limited, I mean, he's been retired for 22 years.
Yeah.
To go out and now buy meat all winter long, there's also a financial burden that you're putting on him as well. But I love George. I love his spirit. He sounds fantastic. And good for him for doing something about it. Okay, we've got a lake report. We're coming back with Boomer and wrapping up Ticket Outdoors.
Sports and legal issues. They don't mix very often, do they? Join Marsh Hallberg with Bob Sansevier every Tuesday afternoon at 3.
State records show that Minnesotans spent more than a billion dollars on charitable gambling this last year.
Not counting the tribal casinos?
Right.
They bet it illegally then.
There was $100 million bet legally on the Super Bowl in the United States this year.
Illegal betting?
$3.8 billion.
Wow.
Marsh Hallberg, every Tuesday afternoon at 3, powered by Smart Start MN, 105 The Ticket.
Boomer here from The Ticket Outdoors and my friends at Alumacraft Boats, the official boat sponsor of The Ticket Outdoors. Even though the temps are cold, and you guys know I love to talk about ice fishing, right now is an awesome time to buy a new boat because Alumacraft is featuring their annual AlumaCash promotion. Get instant rebates of up to $1,600 to use as a down payment or subtract from the sale price. See your local dealer and find out why Minnesota's AlumaCraft is the best deal on the water.
for family fun, work, or play. Field and Forest jeans from Mills Fleet Farm are comfortable and durable, carpenter or bootcut styles, just $12.99. Give your furry friends healthy nutrition with Hill's brand pet foods. Get a $10 gift card when you buy select sizes of dog, puppy, cat, or kitten food. Keep your water softener clean and trouble-free with Diamond Crystal Zeo Tabs. 40 pounds, just $4.19. Find more great deals online at fleetfarm.com.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
The George Krogh Mill. I'm telling you, it's got a ring to it. I like it. Thank you, George. Thank you, Walleye Dan, the Strew Man up north, and Guy Sibley for being our guest tonight. And here we go, the big old lake report.
You know what? I feel a little pressure after having an 84-year-old hunter that took the time to go to his local DNR office, then write a letter to his house or legal politician representative. I feel like the guy who's like speaking right before lunch or right before happy hour.
Right, right. Exactly.
But, wow.
I want some of that, some of those steaks. I'm getting a little hungry for some venison.
As long as they're not dope-issful.
No.
Yeah, I never heard that one.
He would know. He let her hang for a while. And those guys do. They used to let him hang. My grandfather was the same way, and he was a professional butcher. But enough about that. We've got a lake report.
Yeah.
And Boomer, the next 10 minutes of yours, tell us all about it. You talked about a lake out in Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, before we jump into that, I want to take a couple seconds and thank Navionics and Sonar Phone. They sent us some sonar phones to use.
Yep.
And the sonar phone actually has three different items for transducers. They got one that you cast, and then they call the teapot, and then you have two different SKUs that go for your boat. You guys have the one that is a temporary transducer, so you can change it from canoe to boat or whatnot. And what sonar?
Kayak.
Can I put it on my kayak?
You can put it on your kayak,
all right,
baby.
Cool.
And that's going to be awesome because you guys are going to have the ability to read water temp, water surface temp, the depth. It's going to have a fish finder, and it can read to your smart device. It's wireless. So thank you, Navionics and Sonar Phone, for sending that to the Ticket Outdoors
crew. Thank you.
Now, how would I power that in a kayak? Do I need like a little 9-volt?
Nope. What you can
do is hook it to your paddle, and then every time you
hamster,
you can charge it.
Okay,
and,
cool.
And you should be good to go, and it will read right to your phone or to your iPad or Nook or whatever kind of device, and it's really slick. And the cool thing about what Navionics and Sonar Phone have going is Navionics is a global geographical lake map reader that tells you basically your GPS position and the structure on the water. And now that's linked up with the fish finder version from Sonar Phone, which is a company of Exlars. And you got the best of both worlds because, as you guys know, everything's going mobile.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to take a minute to thank those guys.
Can I use it on my ski trip?
You know what?
Well,
depending if you go over water, you could.
Well, Navionics also provides these things for skiing and hiking and this sort of thing. So I didn't know. I haven't opened up the package yet.
But you know what is actually pretty cool, and not to be too much of an infomercial for Sonar Phone before we go to the lake report here, is the Miami Boat Show is a really big show.
The biggest.
The biggest, right?
Yeah.
And the Miami Boat Show has recognized the Navionics Sonar Phone for the Innovation Year of the Year Award.
Oh, wow.
So that is a group of third party. So
that's the Oscar right there for Best Picture.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So that some folks from Minnesota partnered up with Navionics, Vexlar did, and you got the Sonar Phone Navionics Fish Finder deal. Let's talk about fishing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of excitement at the local sports shows about open water fishing. I'm pretty jazzed about bringing the Alumacraft up to chase some sturgeon. So for folks who are looking for fishing walleyes and, you know, Minnesota openers right around the corner in May, the governor opener is going to be up on Lake Vermilion this year. You can fish border waters earlier, like in that April time frame, and that Rainy River up at Lake of the Woods area is going to open up. And in all seriousness, Mark, we're going to grab that T-Pro up there, and if you can get up there, Zep, and we're going to chase those prehistoric sturgeons. So mark your calendars, fishermen, to do that.
If you're not careful, you're going to get Brian Clawitter's respect.
I know. That's going to be dangerous. But maybe we're going to have to bring him. And then don't forget, if you're a turkey hunter in the state of Minnesota,
Your license was already drawn if you were picked for the lottery for the first three seasons. There's 8 seasons in the state of Minnesota. There are some leftover tags out there, and I think those are going to be available to the public in the middle of March. So if you're looking to shoot a turkey in Minnesota for the first three seasons, there are some leftover tags. Let's talk about Shawamigan Bay, ladies and gentlemen, located in beautiful Ashland, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
We drove by there on the way back from Fish and Go Gebbek with Guy Sibley. And we stopped at the gas station. Of course, I got through the local newspaper.
Yeah, Ashland probably about, is it about an hour away from the UP?
Not quite that far, about an hour and a half, depending on the blizzard that's there at that time, right? And Shawamigan Bay is typically known for the Apostle Islands, and there's a great outfitter out there, Unlimited Trophy Outfitters, Aaron and Lacey Keistern, that run a really good guide business out there. They do bears in northern Wisconsin, but this Unlimited Trophy Outfitters really knows this body of water. And right now in Shawamigan Bay, it's averaging about 18 inches of ice, which is some pretty good ice. And they are catching some beautiful lake trout and whitefish in between 50 to 100 feet of water. Now, jokingly aside, I know that is a big range, but if you get up there to this area, Shawamigan Bay looks like its own lake. You know, it's a bay off of Superior that leads into the Apostle Islands. Those fish are all over the place, and the type of presentation they're using right now is big, flashy spoons. So those folks that go up to Lake Winnipeg, like HMG Alex McStott, that lake is full of limestone. You use these big, shiny rigs to get the big greenback attention.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same approach they've been using up on Shawamigan Bay to catch these whitefish and lake trout. And they're using either tipped with plastic or live bait. Now, Aaron's really pumped because here in a few weeks or maybe even the week, they're going to be going out to fish in 200 feet of water near the Apostle Islands. So that's a little further outside of the bay, so
yeah,
it's got to get a pretty deep freeze.
Right.
But the reason they go out there is to chase these 20 to 30-pound beast of trout. And so that's going to be opening in the next week. So you folks that mark Shawamigan Bay on your calendars, it looks like they're going to be chasing the Apostle Islands here in the near future. So if you've got that taste in your mouth to go chase those 20 to 30-pound trout, that's going to be happening. But in the bay itself, they're catching a good chunk of lake trout and whitefish between 50 to 100 feet. Now we're going to come back to the metro area and change it up. And last time I talked about Minnetonka, I talked about Spring Park. Mm-hmm. This time I'm going to talk about an area that I love to bass fish, actually, and it's where I took Mark and his dad. We had a really good bite, and then I took Zep and I struck out and fell on my ass. But it's that North Arm, Maxwell Bay, Stubbs Bay area. North Arm and Maxwell Bay are right next to each other there. They both have landings to get out. Right now, North Arm is having a pretty good crappie bite. I talked to Here's My Gear, Adam Griffith. You guys know he's always on the water. Thank you, Adam, for donating a guide trip to Strew's dinner for the Lions Club that's happening.
Yes.
And so Adam was talking to me about North Arm, and it's a good morning and evening bite there on the north piece of North Arm. Right now, those crappies on all these metro lakes seem to be in the deep basins when Adam was talking about it. And that does really make sense for this time of year. The colder temps have kicked in. We're in the polar vortex. They're going to go to a deeper part of water. Look for those crappies, good 10-inch crappies for the metro area to be in 20 to 25 feet of water and use a smaller presentation. Now we're going to shift into Medicine Lake. That's a popular lake.
Yeah,
right?
Old Medicine Lake. You bet.
Now, if you're looking for crappies, the bite doesn't seem to be too hot when I was talking to Adam, but look for sunfish to be in 18 to 20 feet of water. Sunfish in whatever body of water you're going to be targeting right now are typically going to be off that first break of the weed lines. Earlier in the year, I was talking about the weed lines. Now they're off of the first break where the crappies are going to be out in the basins, and that is where they are on Independence, another metro lake.
Yep.
Look for those crappies to be in 25 to 30 feet of water. Give Adam Griffith a shout. He won the Minnesota Panfish League Championship tourney.
Yeah.
So if you go to Strew's Wild Lions Dinner, where it's a wild game feed, and you get a chance to fish with Here's My Gear's Adam Griffith, you're going to be fishing with a ice fishing tournament champion.
Where did they do that tourney at?
They did it actually on Independence.
Yeah.
Yep.
I just drove past that about a week ago, and they've got a beautiful little city of houses out there and shacks, and it's just one of those lakes. Out west, not out as far as Howard, but about probably about a half hour or so west of the city.
Absolutely. You just jump west of the cities a little bit. Medina, Howard,
12,
you go west.
Stay on 12, and
you're right there. Nice crappie bite that's going on there. Some tips that
Adam was talking about is right now the bugs are coming out in all seriousness. We talked about the mud flats on Gogebic where the mayfly larva was coming. So use the, for those crappies that you're going to target on Independence or North Arm, use smaller presentation like a little ant drop or an epoxy drop, and don't power jig it, as we joke, up and down and get too aggressive, because those fish right now, the oxygen gel levels are a little lower and they're going to be a little more lazy. So give it a little more subtle presentation. Pink and red, Adam, I'm saying it on air, was the color he used to win the championship, tipped with some red Euro larva on
He's
Lake
already
Independence.
Got the trophy.
And that is your lake report.
All right. Thank you, Boomer. Don't forget Mills Fleet Farm for the tires. Plenty of bad weather left this winter. Michelin, BF Goodrich, Cooper Roadrunner. They've got them all at Mills Fleet Farm. Also, thanks to Dan Southside Marine, Alumacraft, and Lakes Trading Company, our newest sponsor, Gun Range and Shop up in Forest Lake. Thank you, fellas.
It's the stock up sale at Mills Fleet Farm. Isobar Windshield Wash is good down to 25 below zero. Go ahead, squeeze the Charmin. Double roll bath tissue is on sale. Stock up on Easter candy with Hershey's chocolates and Easter M&Ms. Keep the birds chirping with KT Wild Bird Food. It's on sale too. Keep your cats purring with Purina's Friskies Cat Food. And grade 2 bulk hardware is on sale at Mills Fleet Farm Stock Up Sale.